Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an EPP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com, click become an EPP, and thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. And if you'd like to share your real ghost stories with us, 855-853-4802 is the phone number to do it with. Of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again.
Hello.
It's open lines today.
It is.
So we have a bunch of interesting calls and stories to hear all about. And there was something that I just saw that I thought was rather funny that I thought I would share. A listener posted on our Facebook page, said, I've been going through some of the old episodes. And here's a trivia question for you, because you're really good at trivia.
Okay.
At least naming things.
Okay.
A listener said, been going through some old episode. I heard bomb ass sweet tea and could not stop laughing. Nice. What episode was that from?
Oh, I don't know.
I have no idea either, but I'm trying to think of what the reference point was. I have a vague recollection of that term being used on the show. I don't think you said it, did you? Or was it?
I don't think so.
It was in a story, I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure I would ever say bomb ass. Opposed to it, just not, my style.
It's just not your thing to start saying bomb ass sweet tea?
No.
And I could see being excited about sweet tea, but probably just not in the bomb ass sort of way.
If I said it, I really don't remember. That means one of two things. Either I'm getting old or I was drinking the grown-up sweet tea when I said it.
That could have been.
Could have been.
That could have very well been. I don't know. But we have some good stories for you today here on the show. And like I said, 855-853-4802 is our phone number to get your stories in to us. Let's go to our first caller today. Hi.
Hi, Tommy and Jenny. I'm calling from Florida. I've been listening to your show for a while now, and I absolutely love it. I noticed that in your show, you talk a lot, or you have a lot of calls and letters and things from people who live up north, or like in England and Scotland and UK and things like that. I'm just wondering, because I know that there's a lot of historical things that happened, and like a lot of tragedies that happen with time and, foreign countries and, like, old places like Europe and also in the original colonies and things like that, or in the Midwest because it's, so old and the Native Americans were living there before. But I was just wondering, it's a question, it's not really a story. I live in South Florida. Oh, my name is May, by the way. Sorry. And in South Florida, I don't feel like a lot of things happen, like, ghostly or paranormal, especially not, like, in the part of South Florida where I live in. So we do have, like, a couple of Sasquatch things, but we don't really have any ghost stories. And I was wondering if that's because it wasn't settled such a long time ago, or, I just want to hear your thoughts on that, because I was really curious when I've noticed that as I've heard your show. I love it. It's awesome. Keep doing what you're doing. I don't have a job yet, but when I do, I'm going to become an EPP, and I hope you guys are right. Bye.
Okay, so for whatever reason, I kid you not, within 24 hours of getting that message, we had three stories about Florida. So they're all here for us to hear today.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
This happens all the time.
Well, see, what happens was, you know, over the weekend, I don't check my email, which is where the calls come in,
sure,
too. And so I got this call first.
Mm-hmm.
And then within that same day or the following day, there was 3 listeners, Florida stories. So there you go.
All right. So we'll answer that with that.
Okay.
And it was all done by the power of synchronicity.
We're supposed to talk about Florida today, I guess.
I guess so. I wonder why.
I don't know.
Maybe that'll be revealed to us later in the show.
It could be.
All right, let's go to another caller here. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Our first of what looks like 3 Florida calls. Is that right?
That's right.
All right, here we go. Hi.
Hi, Bruce Keys. This is Estefania from Florida. I have been listening to you guys' show for months now. Really like it. I'm also a proud EPP, and today I just felt like telling you guys a story about a shadow person I saw. Now, this is a story I haven't told many people because it's the first time I ever actually, like, saw an actual shadow person. Now, what happened was I was living at my dad's house, and it was late at night one night, and I was in my room. And I was staying up because I couldn't sleep. I remember I was on my phone. I was watching, like, YouTube videos, or I was just laying there restless. And my room was completely dark. There was only a little bit of light coming through the crack of my door, probably about a couple inches wide, that I could see. And I could see the light from the living room coming through. And so I was laying there, and I decided I was going to try to go to sleep. So what I did was I turned off my phone. I laid there for a second. And after a while, I kept hearing, like, little noises. And these noises were coming from my dresser. Oh, sorry if it's loud, by the way. I'm kind of in a little busy area. But anyway, I kept hearing these noises, like, little things on my dresser right by my bed, like, scooching. Like just moving a little bit, like, dragging almost. And I kind of, like, ignored it because I was trying to go to bed. And I actually heard this while I was awake, but I kind of played it off, you know. I was just like, oh, well. You know, and so as I'm laying there now, completely in dark, phone is off, I look around the room, and for some reason, there catches my eye. So I look at the door. Oh, I'm sorry. I think I'm getting another call. Oh, well. Sorry. The door catches my eye, and I see that since there was light coming through the whole door, I see that there is something blocking the light, almost like somebody standing in the way, blocking the light into the door. And I looked, and I noticed that I see a person standing there. And this person, I could see their movement, you know, they're swaying a little bit, just like as if somebody was standing there watching me. I could see the outline of their head. I could see that it looked more like a man figure. It was all dark, and it was so dark that it stood out because it was almost blacker than black. It was really, like, scary. And it scared. I mean, at first I thought, hey, maybe it's my stepmom or my sister, like my stepsister. I thought it could have been one of them. So I called out and I said, come in, because I figured they were just checking in on me, you know. And and whatever it was didn't come in, which was, you know, now that I think about it, it's really scary thought that I invited whatever it was inside. So I invited it in. Nothing happened. I did see the door start to slowly open, like as if it was trying to, but it didn't. And once I stayed there for a good few seconds, I realized that this was not any of my family members. And it was only just me, my stepmom, and my stepsister in the house that night. So I immediately started panicking, and I grabbed my phone, and I turned on the flashlight, and it was gone. It was gone. And when I turned my flashlight off, I could see that whatever was blocking the door frame was now gone, because all the light coming from the top of the door to the bottom was just coming in. And it was probably the freaking thing. I usually don't see anything. I wouldn't say I'm sensitive, but maybe to only like a certain extent. I can definitely feel presences like most people can. I don't really see them though. So to see this for the first time was really freaky. And, I mean, it didn't do anything, like, too, like, it didn't seem dangerous, but it was freaky. And, now I do want to tell, I have a lot of other stories that I could tell you guys, and, but I guess I can keep it at this one. I just want to say that I love your guys' show. I listen every day, helps me get through work, helps the day fly by. And definitely have been recommending your show to a lot of other people. So thank you for listening to the call, and you guys have a wonderful day. Bye.
That is very scary to think that she may have inadvertently invited something in.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was already, you know, within the house. So maybe she didn't really make it come in even further.
Like, sure.
Like, welcome it to stay, because it was already there.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I think okay. It makes sense. What I thought was interesting about it is how it was blocking the light mm-hmm. from underneath the door. A lot of times when you think of ghosts, you think somewhat translucent. I mean, you do think of, you know, shadow people, and which are dark entities, but a lot of times they seem to not necessarily interact so much with the spectrum of light in our environment, if you will. It's almost like they're on their own.
Right.
And they're in their own thing. You can sense them in the dark. You can, of course, see them in the light, but they're not necessarily reflecting light or anything to do with it. The fact that this was actually blocking it,
mm-hmm.
that's kind of just adds another element to it of, well, that's an interesting thing that this thing can do.
It's almost like shadow people can absorb light.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what I'm wondering is when it was blocking it, was it simply absorbing the light around it, or was it literally blocking the transmission of the light that would be going underneath that doorway?
And I don't know.
Yeah. No, I don't think anyone ever really would know, mm-mm. but it's just an odd thing
mm-hmm.
when you hear something like that, where that's the effect that it's having on that environment. Thank you for the call. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hi, Jenny. Hi, Tony. This is Carmen from Pennsylvania. I just wanted to tell you a story about something that one of my students told me. But first, I wanted to let Tony know that if he's constantly suffering from allergies, if he gets the honey that is from the area where you guys live and, like, uses it in, like, tea, it should help out with his allergies. So let me go to my story. So I work in a very poor school in Camden, New Jersey. It's in a very dangerous area, but my students are wonderful. And I'm the special education teacher there. And this day, I was pulled out of my classroom because we had one of our teacher's sisters passed away. So they asked me to sub in her class, and of course I did. So I was subbing in her class, and I always have this thing where in order to, like, maintain the students and have good classroom management, I tell my students that I will tell them ghost stories at the end of the day, because I've got some from when I was a child. So I got the kids through most of the day, and they were pretty good, and I started telling my stories, and I finished telling my story, and the kids' hands shot up. Of course they did, because they want to share. They want to tell what's going on with them, and of course I want to hear, because I'm an EPP member. I listen all the time. It's one of my favorite things. And I knew that these kids were going to want to tell me some crazy things, because they always do. So I first want to say that I said something about shadow people, and their hands all rose, like, right away. Like, they're like, I see them all the time. Oh, my goodness. And because they think they're the only ones. And then we had a few stories about bunk beds that were really creepy. And then one of the little boys at the end, like, he was jumping out of his seat. Like, we were about to leave, and he just really wanted to tell a story. And I was like, okay, go ahead. So he told me one of the creepiest stories. So here it is. So he was in his bunk bed, and he was on the top bunk, and he's telling me that his sister and his little brother were on the bottom bunk. And he was looking out at the doorway, and he said he just all of a sudden saw a clown. So he blinks his eyes, and he's like, this can't be real. And he closes them really tight, and then he opens them, and the clown is still there. So the way the boy tells the story is that right by where his bunk bed is, he can reach up and touch the light switch. So he touches the light switch and turns it on. However, the clown is still there when he turns the light on. And he said, but the clown's, like, color changed, and it was darker. So at that point, he screamed really loud for his parents, and then all of a sudden it just disappeared. Well, as we're walking down the stairs to get them out to the bus, I said, hey, well, what did it look like? And I was just really interested. And he's like, well, it had no eyes and no mouth. And it's funny because you can tell when a child's lying if you've been around them long enough. Like, children have a way of, like, telling stories and making stuff up, and you can see their brain, like, processing. And it was obvious, like, these children were not lying when they were telling me these stories. They were very, very, like they just wanted to spill it. They just wanted to get off their chest. And they're telling me constantly, like, their parents don't believe them. Well, I just wanted to share that. And if anything you get out of it, make sure you drink some, get some honey and some tea, and it'll help you with your allergies, okay? I hope you guys have a wonderful day, and thank you so much for doing your podcast and everything. It's wonderful. Bye.
I prefer to just eat local bees.
You don't eat bees.
I find them, and I just...
No.
I'm kidding.
You know, I would imagine all those kids will, you know, for some time probably still have interactions with the paranormal because they've got the toughest of the tough situations. Mm-hmm. Not only are they going to a very difficult school to go to because it's a very poor area,
mm-hmm.
not saying anything about the teachers, but just, you know, going to school in that type of
sure.
school is
it's
difficult.
A rougher life.
And being in the special ed class, you know, and all the things that go along with the other kids not being nice and, mm-hmm. and stuff, you know, that makes them just basically a little room of targets. And I'm not at all surprised that they all had a story.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, but I mean, the obviously what we see on the show, you know, time after time is whatever these things are, ghosts, entities, if it's something negative especially, you know, it seems to target people who are in some sort of distress or in a difficult situation, or you know, including children, you know, mm-hmm. you know, and that would be, you know, I think something that it would look at as an easy target. It's a kid, you yeah. know, regardless of the situation, that's an easy target, I think, if you're something that's negative.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add all the other circumstances that you know, unfortunately, these kids are in, that just it just makes it prime ground, if you will, for, you know, that, you know, negative sort of things to be festering,
mm-hmm.
if you will. So yeah, I'm not surprised either that she's, you know, finding all that out. It's interesting, and I wonder, you know, how the kids felt about it. Obviously, as an adult, you can look at that and go, oh, that might have been kind of therapeutic for them to all be able to go and share these stories in this classroom together and all, you know, go, oh, I'm not the only one who's dealing with this weird, bizarre shit.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, at the end of the day, when they were going home, I'm wondering if that almost made them feel a little bit better about it. Not that it alleviates what's going on if they're seeing this stuff on a normal basis, but it made them go, I'm not alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially in a situation like that where, you know, a lot of times you may feel very much alone, if that really helped them.
I think that was awesome, you know, that she was able to connect with all those
yeah.
kids, you know, and give them that outlet.
Yeah, I agree.
That's why we do what we do.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that story and that experience with us. I have heard the local honey thing. I don't think I've ever done it on a regular enough basis to know if it works or not. I don't know.
You need to do it.
I have so many allergies.
I've heard a lot of people say it.
Sure.
So it's worth a try.
Is there a place to get local honey around
yeah,
here?
There is.
We should just get a beehive out back and start harvesting our own.
No, because if you do bees like you do tomatoes, we'll have 4 million bees in the backyard.
That'd probably not be a good thing to mix with two small children.
No.
That probably would not work out well. Remember that time that Dad thought it'd be fun to have beehives in the backyard? Yeah, we miss Dad. It's been a long time. That's how that conversation would go, because I'm afraid of bees. Mm-hmm. I've been stung. Gosh. I think it's just once.
Okay.
I could be, and it was a hornet.
Oh.
That stung me. And I was very upset that I believe I was 19. I gone my entire life without being stung. And I'm like, this is great. This is something I've, you know, I don't want to experience mm-hmm. this one. And I've always been very careful, probably to, you know, a comedic standpoint, when a bee comes around, of flailing my arms and making very high-pitched noises to stay away from the said bees.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed to have worked pretty well. Walking into a gas station one day, and it was summer. It was warm out. I had a button-down shirt on, and I think it was kind of loose or something, and for whatever reason, all of a sudden I'm walking into the gas station, and I feel like something, like, right below, like, my belly button, really.
Okay.
And, like, what is that? Like, it felt out of place, and mm-hmm. I didn't know if it was a sting, or it kind of, you know, it just felt odd. Like, open up or pull my shirt to look quick, and out flies a hornet.
Oh, God.
Like, damn it. And it wasn't that it was so painful. It was more so that, damn it, my record was broken. And then I started wondering, okay, do I have an allergy to this? Because my mom does.
Mm-hmm.
And she has to carry around the little pen mm-hmm. that, you know, to shoot herself up with if she gets stung. And this is my first time ever having it, so I didn't know. I'm like, okay. Well, if I, start going into convulsions here soon, at least we'll know why.
My brother had a bad reaction to bees one time.
Yeah.
We grew up out in the country, and literally we had an old school bell by the driveway that if we were out doing stuff, mom would ring the school bell if we were supposed to come home, and we could hear it,
mm-hmm.
you know, for a ways. And so anyway, he decided for whatever reason, spring, you know, we hadn't been out in the winter, but first spring day, he's going to go ring that bell.
Mm-hmm.
Full of bees.
Oh, there's God.
There's a big bee's nest up in there. And they came out and they attacked him and had to get him some medical help.
Were you guys like the inspiration for an episode of Rescue 911 after that? Or
no, but he was the inspiration for My Girl.
God. He's still alive.
I'm joking.
Yeah, my God. What about My Girl 2? Did you ever see that one?
It wasn't good.
I never saw that one. It's like one of those sequels where you're like, how do you make a My Girl 2 after after that ending there? Yes. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Kay from South Carolina. I wrote in several months ago about my brother and his friends who are like kind of seemingly immortal because they keep getting into accidents. And they keep, like, you know, getting out of it alive when they shouldn't. So, as of then, I haven't had any of my own paranormal experiences. But, like, as of right now, that's changed a little bit. I'm a freshman in college. And for spring break, me and my four best girlfriends decided to go to St. Augustine, Florida, because there's like a nice beach and there's a cute little town, and we found like a cheap KOA to stay at, and like it was fun. And so we went down there, and St. Augustine is apparently one of the most haunted cities in America, because it's the oldest city in America. And there's like a bunch of haunted bed and breakfasts, there's a bunch of haunted houses, there's a bunch of haunted fort, there's a haunted lighthouse, there's two haunted cemeteries like adjacent to each other, there's a haunted schoolhouse, there's a haunted jail, there's a haunted drugstore, like they have haunted everything. And one of the most haunted locations in St. Augustine, Florida is Antiques and Unique. It's like an antique store type thing, and it's on like one of the historic streets of the city. And I really, really wanted to walk by it. And then the day that we were exploring the city, like, I told a friend, so I was like, I really, really want to walk by, like, most of these things. Like, I've done a bunch of research on it. So we walked by a lot of the haunted locations. I just wanted to see them, you know, like, just, you know, it'd be cool. So I got to walk by a bunch of the haunted locations that I wanted to see. And I wanted to go inside Antiques and Uniques, but it was closed, sadly, that day. I was very upset about it, but it was fine. I was fine. And one of my friends lived in Charleston, and I, like, swung by and dropped her off on the way back from St. Augustine. And Charleston is also, like, hella haunted. And her house, like, right down the road from two, like, haunted plantations. And so I passed by those two. So I got home that night, like, I came home from Charleston that night, and I was sleeping in my parents' guest room, because the bed's bigger there, it's bigger than my childhood bed, And I called my boyfriend because I went and, like, surprised him when I came home, like, right before I came to my parents' house. I called my boyfriend to tell him that I was, like, home and safe, and I was laying in the dark on the guest bed, and this, it was a woman. Like, it was a woman shadow figure. I could tell that it was a woman. It was on the ceiling, and I was like, no, no, no. Like, that's not what I think it is. Like, that's just a shadow coming from somebody else. And I was looking around trying to find something that the shadow could have come off of. And I was just, I was just trying so hard to, like, debunk it. I was like, that's not a shadow person. I am not seeing a shadow person. That is not a shadow person. And then it started to grow. Like, it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I screamed. And my boyfriend was like, oh my God, what's wrong? And I was like, there's a ghost. There's a ghost in my parents' guest room. Like, I'm freaking out. There's a ghost in my parents' guest room. And I sat there terrified for a minute. I didn't know what to do. And I eventually, like, leapt out of bed, ran out, like, turned all the lights on my way up to my childhood bedroom. And, like, I got in my bed and wrapped up in the covers. Like, I still have my boyfriend on the phone. I was like, I am so scared. And he started telling me about how his house is haunted, which I'll tell you guys later. And while he was talking to me, the phone went dead. And it's never, ever done that before. Like, ever. Like, while we were talking, like, that's never happened before. And I got back on the phone with him. I was horrified. And he's like, yeah, ghosts can do that. Like, they just do. And then one of my oldest brothers, I have, like, 10 siblings, and my second oldest brother came home to stay the weekend with my parents, too, so we were both there, and so he was sleeping in the guest room because there was another room for him to sleep, and I told him about the shadow person I saw, and, okay, he hates sleeping with the door open, and he hates sleeping with the lights on, but the whole weekend, he had all the lights on, doors wide open, and he was sleeping, like, with his swords in his hand. Like, he was terrified. Like, he was so scared, and he's, like, this big 21-year-old guy. So, like, I don't know if it was a shadow person that I saw. I don't know if it was, like, maybe a ghost from St. Augustine, like, followed me back. I don't know. But our house has, like, a protection blessing on it, so it's not supposed to, like, ghosts aren't supposed to be able to get in. So, like, I'm not really sure what it was. My parents don't believe in ghosts. So they were just like, oh, that's bullshit. Like, you didn't see that. Like, that was, it was just a shadow or, like, a deer or something. But I know what I saw, and there was a damn shadow person on my ceiling, and I'm probably not going to sleep in there again for a very long time. I love you guys' show. I was an EPP, and I have to, like, get myself back together before I can be in again because my card expired and everything. But I listen to you guys every day. Can't sleep without you guys playing. I know it's weird, but it's just the way I am. So, thanks. Bye, guys.
There you go.
There you go. I have not been to St. Augustine, but it's got so much history. I'm not at all surprised that it is haunted.
It's interesting to hear where it's like, and then there's the haunted this and the haunted that, and everything mm-hmm. is haunted.
Yeah.
It's almost, you know, kind of, I've never been there either, so I don't, when I say it's kind of like New Orleans, I don't necessarily mean that it's like New Orleans, but along the lines of everything is haunted.
Or Savannah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, as far as just where you have all of the, you know, every place you, everywhere you look, everywhere you go, there's a haunt, a ghost to hold on to.
That's great.
Everywhere you look. Everywhere.
That's going to be stuck in my head all day.
There's a face without a body below it.
Oh, geez. That's great.
Now, when you're lost out there and you're all alone, there's a shadow person waiting to carry you home. Everywhere you look. Ba-da-doo-ba-ba-dow.
I knew that was coming.
Da-dun. There you go.
I got nothing.
It's kind of how it is. Hi. Let's hear your story.
Hi, guys. My name is Brian. I live in Jacksonville, Florida. Started listening to your show probably 3 weeks ago. I work early in the morning, so it really helps me get through. Kind of creeps me out, but that's, I guess, part of the fun. My story takes me back to when I was around 12. I used to spend weekends with my aunt and uncle who lived locally, and they used to always, you know, try different things to scare me. You know, when you're taking a bath by yourself, they'd go outside and knock on the window and stuff. But this story takes place sometime after that. We used to go, they would take me to what they would call Ghost Light Road. We used to go to this road in Switzerland, Florida, which is part of Jacksonville. It was an old desolate road. There was nothing on the road, just a bunch of trees, path, you know, dirt roads on the side, completely dark, no lights. And the story was that if you go down this road, there was a light, it would chase you and whatnot. We had gone 3 or 4 times to no avail, and I just chalked it up to, you know, it was something to do for them. They thought it was fun, and it got us out of the house. Until the one night we went down this road, and the road's about 2 miles long. It runs into another intersection. We had probably gone down the road about a mile. We're getting ready to turn around. There's a turnaround about halfway down the road. And let me tell you about the vehicle we were in. We were in it's a van, but it was a work van. So the van only had 2 front seats. And me being the unfortunate younger person of the party, I actually had to sit on a 5-gallon bucket that was located in the back of the van. Now, the van had no side windows. It only had 2 back windows and the front window. So as we were getting ready to turn around, you know, as usual, not seeing anything, in the distance, we saw a faint light. This light came out of the woods. It started off, I don't know how far away, it seemed like 3 or 4 football fields, and it was particularly, you know, it was small, very bright, and it starts coming directly towards the vehicle. And as the light got closer, the light expanded in size. So, me being young, obviously I'm freaking out. And my aunt and uncle, who obviously at that point I had realized had never seen this, they began to panic as well, because they obviously did not expect to see anything. So of course, you know, he puts it in high gear, he whips the van around, and I'm getting jostled around on this 5-gallon bucket. So of course I'm the closest one to the light because I'm in the back of the van. And there, you know, my aunt is screaming, you know, go, go, go. And he's pretty much got it going as fast as it can go. There's no other cars or anything on the road. Well, the light looks like it's a little bit faster than we are. And this light keeps getting closer and it gets bigger until when I look back, it might have been a football field away, and it was as tall as the trees. And these are tall pine trees. So this light was huge, kind of like a train light, just, you know, 10 times bigger, and it was coming super fast. We get to the almost to the end of the road, and the light's still coming, and it seems now, you know, 50 yards away. And as soon as we got to the end of the road, he turned the tires to go to the right. This light just shot off to the left into the woods. To this day, I have no idea what this was. My aunt and uncle have passed away since then, but I've passed the story down to anybody that'll listen, and I don't think most people believe me, but that's the only experience I've ever had where I just couldn't explain what it was that I saw, but it was something that it was just unexplainable. If you go to the road now, it's grown up, there's a lot of houses and high schools, and it's very well lit. I haven't looked up the story on it or anything, but you know, I just wanted to share that with you guys. I appreciate what you do. I love your show. Thanks for everything. Have a good one.
Thanks for sharing your story with us. Sound like you had some pretty fun or twisted aunt and uncle there, depending on how you you view what they were doing.
Well, do you think it was a type of orb, or do you think it was something else?
I don't know. It's a bizarre one when you have just the strange light out there that does things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that can almost go into the UFO territory too.
Mm-hmm.
As far as what it was exactly, the way that it was expanding and contracting, and it sounds orb-ish to me. I mean, that's what my guess would be, but without actually having had seen it, it's very difficult to say.
Well, from the way he described it, it sounded more ball-like, meaning it was more like on our level, not like shining down from above.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where I was thinking orb.
Yeah, it's a hard one to really diagnose. It reminds me back when I was in the North Woods of Wisconsin in Wausau doing radio one day. We got, and I, every once in a while I come across the article because I think it's like out there in the internets somewhere about this, because like the TV station covered our show that day, the newspaper did, and we had probably 300, 400 calls.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, that's insane no matter what to get that many calls about anything. And it was just one call after another that day, all about these bizarre lights that people had seen the night before. And looking back on it, I mean, everybody was saying UFO.
Yeah.
You know, that was just kind of the go-to, what you thought. But looking back on it now, I almost kind of wonder, was it orb-type things? They were like all over, fairly low-flying. I have to look up the article again to remember all the details, because it's been literally like 15, 20 years since that happened. It was just bizarre, and it was one of those, it was just a light anomaly thing, similar to kind of what he was talking about. I think there was more than one here, so that's why it might have been more UFO-ish. But just, you know, you don't know what the hell you're seeing. You just know that it's not supposed to be there.
Right.
And it's, you know, obviously something that you'll never forget if you happen to see it. I have a weird memory of being a kid, and I don't know if this is one of those memories where it's a dream or something, and I recall this as being real, or if this actually happened. But my memory is walking out on my parents' porch, and this is before it was covered, as you've seen it today. Mm-hmm. It was just open air. And I remember it was the evening, and I looked up, and the only way I can really describe what I saw would be as if there was some sort of like massive military plane flying extremely low, where it covers up a good portion of your view,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there is no military base there or anything like that where that would make any sort of sense. But it was like a low flying, something went over, bunch of lights on it. And I thought it was an airplane of some sort, but it was very odd, just the proximity to the ground.
Yeah.
That it felt like this thing was at. I'm just looking up going, that's weird. That was it. It was a moment of when you're a kid and everything's still fairly new and weird, and you start, you know, it's like, oh, well, maybe this just happens, you know. And you don't like really, it doesn't stand out to you as it would today, where I think if I actually saw what I recall seeing, I'd be like, oh my God. But as a kid, I was like, yeah. And I thought about that later, years later, going, wait a second, what the hell was that?
Right.
So I don't know.
That's weird.
I don't know if that's just in my mind somewhere, because I was, I don't know, probably 5 or 6.
Okay.
When that one happened. But you know, good times being a child. I mean, we have so many stories where the kids have the ghost, and it's like, well, the kids just thought they were playing with a new playmate that's happened to appear in the closet, and it was completely normal. You know, it's just, it's how you think.
Right.
You know, at that age. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny, this is John from North Carolina again. It's been a while, but I was calling because I've had two recent encounters, I guess you could say. I've recently been working over 60 hours a week and going to school full-time, so I haven't had much free time. Anyway, one Sunday morning, I was laying in bed, and my alarm clock went off, and I was supposed to go to church and volunteer afterwards with the kids, the young kids. I watch them and teach them about God. But I woke up, I heard my alarm, and I was just like, no, you know what? I'm not doing it. And then I heard clear as day my grandmother say, boy, you best get out of bed. So I got out of bed. My grandmother's been dead for 4 years now. Me and her were really tight while she was alive, but I got out of bed and I went and I did everything I needed to do, and I felt good about it and had a great experience. If you just heard a beep, I got a text. But so that happened, and then about a week or so later, I live in the middle of nowhere, and I showed up to work. I'm sorry, my phone's blown up, but So anyway, I had to show up at work at noon, but I had to get my truck and fixed because it had been recalled. So I went really early just to make sure that they got it done on time before work. And a buddy of mine lives in that town, so I called him, and I have a key to his house, and I was like, hey, you know, for some reason it's done, it needs to, or that I'm expecting it to be. Can I go to your house and just crash on your couch for a couple hours? And he said, you know, of course. So I was in his house, laying on his couch, and he has wood floors, and I heard footsteps on the floors, and he bought this house after his grandparents died. It was their house. And he's told me many a times that he hears his grandmother running around the house. So I heard these footsteps, and I was just kind of laughing myself. I wasn't scared or anything. I knew exactly who it was. I knew his grandmother while she was alive. And about 30 minutes or so passed, and I was about half asleep, and all of a sudden I felt somebody staring me down. I knew exactly who it was, and it was his grandmother, and I was just like, okay. So I rolled over, and I'm sitting there looking in the direction of where I feel it coming from. And then it was just like a beeline. She came straight at me. Hair on my arms went up, everything. And I just, honestly, I kind of laughed about it. But I just looked in that general direction, and I said, look, Meemaw, that's what he called her. I said, Meemaw, it's me, it's John, I'm your grandson's friend. I'm just here to take a nap so I don't have to drive out back home to only drive back here again. I mean, no harm. And instantly it went away. But I just figured I'd call and let y'all know about that. Thank you guys for everything you do, and I am a proud EPP. Talk to you soon.
Attack of the NEMA.
Do you think the grandmothers get together on the other side? Because he seemed to have interaction with both the grandmothers, and I wonder if they are, like, watching out for him.
Like, interact, like go and have like coffee clutch breaks together on the other side and discuss the grandkids?
No, I'm just saying with everything he's got going on, and obviously there's a level of fatigue there that maybe they're just kind of trying to make sure he's where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there.
No, he really seems stressed out. You better go haunt him for a little while and make sure he gets out of bed. I don't know. I mean, and I could see that.
Yeah.
Where there's some sort of, you know, especially, you know, with families and everything, and we have, you know, looking out for each other, and maybe not even necessarily grandma to grandma, you know, getting together, but maybe, you know, it could be any of the family that's there on the other side that's you know, kind of watching out for each other. I could see that, where, I mean, it's not necessarily, you know, just grandmas, or, you know, it's aunts, it's uncles, it's whoever, and discussion going on about the family. How much of your family is influenced or manipulated by the dead family members? That's the real question that you're unaware of, is indirectly, passive aggressively influenced by your dead relatives on the other side, as they do things to manipulate and to do this and that, and you just think are completely normal and go, well, that's a weird coincidence, but it really turned out it was, you know, somebody's, you know, great grandparent or aunt or uncle or somebody that's working on something that you're completely unaware of.
I bet it happens more than we realize.
I bet it does. And I bet there'd be a lot of people when they get over to the other side and they start talking and like, you did that? Why did you do that? You know,
uh-huh.
And then, oh, well, I thought there was a, no, no, just stay out of my, wait, I'm already dead. So.
You know what can be worse than your family members? Your family members with extra powers.
Exactly. So that's, it's an interesting thought. It's like the fun doesn't end. Let's go to another caller here at 855-853-4802. Actually, this one came in via email and recorded on a mobile device. Let's listen in. Woo!
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Stephanie calling from Phoenix. You guys recently read my story of my cousin Prisma, who would visit me and bring animals. I recently was listening to the story of the girl who her mom gave her grandpa's cell phone that had recently passed away, and that he would visit her in her dreams, and he would call her in her dreams, and you know, to give a message to her mom, and how, you know, kids nowadays, that's how you would get their attention, is with the cell phone or social media, that type of thing. And I actually have a story about my cousin Prisma. You know, when she recently passed away, she was on MySpace, and I just remember one of her coworkers calling me up one day, asking me if I had commented on his page, because he had a comment from her, like, recent, and she had been, you know, she had passed away maybe like a month prior to that, so there was no way she could comment on his page. And it said "What's up" in all caps, and that's how she would type, that's how she would talk. She was very bubbly, you know, outgoing, and that's how she would type. And you know, he asked me, you know, be honest, did you comment on my page? Because he knew I had access to her page, because I helped her create it, you know, a year before. She wasn't very good with computers, and I would always create her email and her MySpace and that type of thing. And I told him, no, that was not me. It was totally her. It was something she would do. She likes to be present. She likes us to think about her. She likes it when we visit her grave and we visit her for her birthday and Mother's Day and that type of thing. So I wasn't surprised that she did that. And I haven't seen her in a few months, so I'm waiting for her to come to me again and say hello. So that was my story. Thank you so much. You guys are the best. And I'm caught up in all the podcasts and the EPP episodes. So keep up the good work. Thanks, guys. Bye.
That's interesting. We have something like that through social media.
It is.
Is that, you know, you would think it'd be fairly common, but we haven't, at least I don't recall hearing a whole lot of that.
No, we've had people haven't, we had a story one time where somebody had an inkling that, oh, I haven't heard from so-and-so in a while. I'm going to check their Facebook page. And it was like, found out like they were gone. And it was like the anniversary of them being gone.
Uh-huh.
And it was more just the fact that
timing, yeah,
but not somebody reaching out from the other side through social media.
And why MySpace? You know, why not Facebook or Twitter?
Well, it's what I'm just kidding.
I mean, and then that's kind of a fun thing to do sometimes. Go and try and find your old MySpace. Did you ever have a MySpace page?
I don't think so. I don't remember.
Back in the day.
No, probably not.
There's a lot. There's probably a whole generation now of kids who are like, "What the hell's MySpace?" You mean like you had like a pro, like Facebook? Yeah, that was it. That was the deal, and that then like Facebook and AM. Yeah, I mean it's. I'm surprised there's not more of it, especially with the amount of, you know, like memorialization that goes on now on MySpace pages, or Facebook pages rather. Uh-huh. And at the time, MySpace, when that was the thing, that occurs when someone passes, that we don't have more stories like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I suppose, you know, a lot of them can be written off, and sometimes where it's like, well, you know, somebody else had access to the account and they posted. And, that's always kind of creepy.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, I was on Facebook, and a coworker that had passed away, I don't know, probably 5-6 years ago, from the radio station, updated their profile picture. And all of a sudden I'm like, wait a second, didn't he die? And then I'm like questioning my, like, am I thinking of someone else? But this is the person that died.
Okay.
And then I like, I click on their profile, and then there's like pictures and stuff that are like continually being loaded. But it turned out it was, I don't know if it was the wife or a kid or somebody was still maintaining the account and as this person and updating it continually with pictures. But it wasn't like updated from the prospect of like in memory of, or it was like almost updated like as if this person was still updating their Facebook page.
It's, wow.
I don't know. Maybe it's a coping thing. You know, everybody does that differently. So I don't want to judge it. I'm just saying from an outsider, when you saw it, it was kind of like you're taken aback for a moment where you have a moment of like, wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen? How do they update their profile picture? So there you go.
Wow.
There you go. It's good times on social media. All right. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, please consider supporting it, keeping us on the air, becoming an EPP. Extra podcast person, get all those bonus episodes of the show, 80 some of those out there for you, plus exclusive video content as well. So check it out. Real Ghost Stories Online, click become an EPP. That's all you got to do. And that is what keeps our show in the air. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.